If you will bow your heads, say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I need ears to hear.
I need ears to hear.
A heart to perceive.
A heart to perceive.
And eyes to see.
And eyes to see.
What your spirit, is speaking to me. I want to take you to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. As I was praying this afternoon, asking the Lord, this is the scripture that came to my mind. So I said, okay, the Lord, here we go. And I want you to realize that St. Paul writes to the Romans, and the Romans have really, I'm sure, had an incredible encounter when he wrote them this letter. I don't know if they digested it all, but this is one of my favorite chapters, and there's so much of it and so much in it. So I want you to start at verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. There's your freedom, Joe. The Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. So when you realize that he gave up his body for us to be free, how many of us would have that kind of courage to trust? We're asked sometimes to just give up a little bit of something, and we already kind of knock on God's door and say, is there a better plan? Is there an easier way? You know, instead of the challenge that he's placed before us. So God did this by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering, and so he condemned sin and sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us. It's not through us, it's in us. Who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So if you digest this and realize that your spirit is really the part of you that is like God, and he's trying to get the real communication back the way it was designed with Adam and Eve. Verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. Anybody know what that nature desires? Everything for me, myself, and I, the big gods that are anti-Christ. Okay? Those who live in according to the sinful nature have their mind set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Now, in my Bible, it has a capital S. But I believe that sometimes the Lord, through St. Paul, would have been talking about your spirit reality. It's not just the Holy Spirit, but the spirit reality of you. You are a spirit being, and your spirit has a desire as well as your soul. Then it speaks, verse 6, the mind of sinful man is death. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life. Is that capital S Spirit? Maybe yes, maybe no. Because I believe it applies to both. It applies to the Holy Spirit. It applies to your spirit. It is life and peace. Now, verse 7 is a little hard to digest, but it's the truth. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Then here's the clincher. Nor can it do so. I mean, what a setup. Nor can it do so. Verse 8. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Whoa! That's pretty heavy, and it's right down to the wire. If you're controlled by your sinful nature, by natural mind, and all the desires that you want, and satisfying me, myself, and I, the three gods that I learned to serve, I cannot please God. So that's not that complicated, is it? You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. Simple. Not complicated. Right down to the wire. If you can't change your mind on that one, you better take a good look at what his word's really saying. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus and his Spirit is not living in you, you've got a problem. I want to back it up to verse 9. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. Now that is done by a work of faith. You believe that you have been made righteous by him and by his blood. Romans 5:9 guarantees that you are justified by the blood of Jesus. So if you need to check Romans 5:9, you do that. Verse 11 says, and if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to what? To your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. So you have a planned resurrection. Oh, well, that's good for Joe. It's good for this one. It's good for that one. But what about me? Well, what about you? It's good for those who have his Spirit within. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will
die.
Yeah, you'll die. I mean, you know, how much clearer do you want it? But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. I mean, you know, if you and I come to a place where you say, oh my God, I can't do this, or it's too hard or too difficult, you have an option. You can cry out to the Holy Spirit for help. You can cry out to God the Father for help. You can cry out to Jesus for help, depending on what happens to be the mood of the day. You can also remind yourself that you've got angels all around you to protect you. And you can check that out in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 7 and 14. Those angels are ministering spirits to help you. I had a dream last night. Woke up with it this morning. I was still living in it. And I had a problem with my big toe. So toes are definitely in. Okay? Was the left one. And I saw something in that left toe that I didn't like. Okay? It had some garbage in it, and I'm pulling it out. And it's like looking into a tunnel. And I'm thinking, what in the world got in there? And I pulled out something that looked like a scale of some kind, and it was all garbagey. And I threw it in a basket. And I knew that my father-in-law, who lived with us for 27 years, was right there next to me. And he was saying, keep on going, don't stop. Like, in other words, there's more garbage in there and you got to pull it out. So I'm literally in the dream pulling that garbage out and throwing it away. And you say, well, what in the world does that mean? Well, the scripture says that, you know, when you have something that's impure or ungodly or dark, infected, what do you do with it? Are you going to leave it there? You got to get rid of it. So I proceeded to obey. Now, you say, are you all done? Did you get it all out? Well, when I woke up, I said, Lord, if I missed anything, I'm asking for your blood to just cleanse that right now. Okay? Now, I didn't go after the antibiotics, but in the dream, I went to the drugstore and got some Cipro. I knew he'd like that. And they gave it to me in a box, and the box was this big, and I thought, oh my God, I must really need a dose. What am I laughing at? God's cleaning house. God is cleaning house. And he gives us dreams to give us instructions. I literally did the instructions in that dream. What was I doing? I was obeying the vision. You say, well, I don't have any dreams like that. Well, did you ask for a dream? Did you ask for instructions? Are you nosy enough to say, well, if I got garbage somewhere and there's an infection somewhere, I need to get rid of it? Amen? Isn't that what the scripture says? I mean, you know, if you've got an infected finger, are you going to leave it there? Are you just going to make believe it doesn't hurt? Are you going to keep working with the finger that's infected and infect others? Or are you going to get rid of the infection and then go back to do what you need to do? Now, you say, well, huh. Do you think death wanted to spread through your body? I would say yes. How many know that if you have sugar diabetes, you could lose a whole leg?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My wife's girlfriend. There was no choice. Her feet were both bad. They did surgery on one foot, but they had to cut off the bottom of the leg, just below the knee, because there was no choice. Now, you know, I did some surgery this morning. I believe I got rid of the infection, but I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to tell the Lord, if there's more to get out of there, I need instructions. If I'm on Cipro for, I don't know, 10 days or whatever, I might have to do some more house cleaning. And I'm up to it. Verse 14. Well, let's back it up to 13. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Now, being led of the Spirit of God is you being submissive to ask Him, Holy Spirit, I need help right now. I don't know what to do here. I don't know which way to go, but I need help. And I'm going to lay this problem down before you, and I'm going to start thanking you because I know you can get me to the other side. Whatever is difficult, you can get me to the other side. Verse 15. For you did not receive the spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Say, I did not receive.
I did not receive.
A spirit that makes me a slave.
A spirit that makes me a slave.
Again to fear.
Again to fear.
But I have received.
But I have received.
The spirit of sonship.
The spirit of sonship.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Try it on. Say, by the Holy Spirit.
By the Holy Spirit.
I cry out.
I cry out.
Abba, Father.
Abba, Father.
Father, Daddy.
Wow. You know, Abba is really the word daddy. My granddaughter, great-granddaughter, is 10. And her and her father were having a few disagreements in the past few months. But the holidays did something, and then of course she had a birthday and she got some gifts and she got her cell phone, believe it or not. And so she showed me her new cell phone and the list of names that she can call for emergencies. And I realized her father has a new name.
Daddy.
Daddy.
Daddy-o. Daddy-o. So in other words, you know, she's all grown up now, you know, let's face it, Daddy-o is one of the top on her list because he got her a phone. And that's what she wanted. Let's go back. 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. But you received the spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. Most people don't want to quote that part. They run from that. How many know you can suffer in multiples of levels? You can suffer in torment. You can suffer in all kinds of physical problems. You can suffer in mental anguish. You can suffer in multiples of choices that you've made, and then you have the byproduct of those, and you end up at slavery. And just take a peek at Romans 6:16, which might be helpful. Romans 6:16. Don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone to obey him as slave, you are slave to the one whom you obey, whether you are a slave to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. When the Lord showed me that years back, I never forgot it. Because I watched my background, my choices, and how much slavery was involved in my own life. One of the biggest slaveries that I couldn't handle was a 20-year habit of smoking. And I was desperate. I wanted to get rid of them, but I couldn't. It controlled me. So I remember I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I began to speak in a new language, and that was very exciting. But I still had to puff in order to keep myself functioning. Otherwise, my wife would say, please go get some cigarettes, because I tried to quit and I irritated the whole family and made it very, very everybody uncomfortable, made them miserable because I was a slave to these little white things. Okay. And so we went to a service. I tried from April, May, and June. In June, we were with a couple of my friends, And the pastor that gave the message that night at church said, if you lay your pack of cigarettes on the altar, you'll be okay. Everything will be cleaned up. Anybody know what I did? I went and I put my pack of cigarettes there. I'm free. Well, I was free that night because I had enough nicotine in me to survive. Till the next morning. So, fortunately, I had a pack of cigarettes in the car, I think it was, and I went and got some because my cup of coffee could not, you know, be drank by itself. I had to have a little help. So, my wife says, oh, I thought you were healed. Well, I'm trying. Well, from June to November, I ended up on 3 packs a day. And even then, I was so desperate. Oh my God, I couldn't get rid of them. I gave it away one more time. Finally, I had to go back to the store because I owned the business at that time. Went back to the store, and now I am angry. Super angry. And I'm praying in that new language, and I'm angry. And I'm right at Four Corners in Three Rivers, Judy's Corner. The beautiful night, November. Nice, warm summer, Indian summer night type. The windows are down in the car. And I'm praying quite loud. And I heard in my head, the whole town's going to laugh at you. Well, that was a threat. And I knew where it was from. It wasn't from God. So I doubled the rate of the tongues. I doubled in the explosive language. And then I began to prophesy. And I prophesied all the way home. No more cigarettes, no more side effects, no more kneading it with coffee. I will not have any results of, you know, anxiety. Nobody's going to know. I'm not giving away the cigarettes. I'm not giving away the lighter. And I'm not going to tell anybody. It's between me and you, Lord. I got up the next morning. And I mean, my office had ashtrays everywhere. I mean, you know, there was ashtrays in my house everywhere. And for a whole week, I walked around with a pack of cigarettes opened. The lighter right behind it. And they got stale and they were smelling. And I said to my wife, I said, did you notice anything lately? I hadn't had a cigarette for a whole week. She never noticed. That was the biggest miracle. Because she didn't tell me to go buy some new ones because I didn't need to. Why did I get free? Because I decreed. I declared. I prophesied what God could do instead of what Kim could do. What am I telling you? The Holy Spirit ignited my spirit to get angry at this addiction. And I got free because of the word coming out of my mouth. And that's been a lot of years. So, no side effects. Then I gave them away, of course. I wasn't going to keep a pack that stunk because they do smell. What am I telling you? If the Spirit of Christ... Look at your neighbor. Look at one. Find some eyes. Say, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're full of life. And you can declare out of your mouth what the Lord says. And you don't need to live in slavery. In Jesus' name, I declare it. Hallelujah. That's all she wrote.
I have one question.
You have a question.
Did you give the cigarettes away or throw them away?
I threw out that I gave them away because, you know why? I had some poor folks that were stuck just like me. And I felt sorry for them. All right? That's the facts. I had a grandson. I had one of my sons that was smoking at the time. So he got free, huh?
Kingdom of God,
yes.
The violent take away force.
Amen.
Get angry in order to.
Holy anger. Oh, yes. Holy anger did it.
Okay.
So share some hugs with each other. Hugs with each other. Hugs with each other. Hugs with each other.